Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas has once again come and gone. Even the 12 days of Christmas are already speeding past. In the church here now, we find ourselves at the beginning of the season of Epiphany, with today celebrating the Epiphany of our Lord, which again was on this past Friday, January 6th. While Epiphany does have perhaps the prettiest sounding name of the times of the church year, it is probably the season with the least fanfare or attention. And we know for sure that the world pays no attention to it, as there is no day off for Epiphany. And there are no great Epiphany songs in popular culture. And I'm guessing you didn't see any Epiphany decorations out 1 month before Christmas's celebration. With our culture, then, not commercializing Epiphany, we are free to celebrate this holiday in its truth and purity. In the church, Epiphany is considered to be one of the oldest celebrations within the church's calendar year, following after Pentecost and Easter. Early on within the church's history, Christians found the death and resurrection of Christ of the utmost importance, and rightfully so. And Epiphany was celebrated early on too, but as a combination of events, all emphasizing the simple truth, yet complex, that God had come to us in human form. The birth of Jesus, the baptism of Jesus, and the visit of the Magi were all combined into this one great festival day. In the early years of the church as well, it was believed that a person died on the same day of his or her conception, thus fulfilling a kind of perfect cycle of life. And so many believe Jesus then to be crucified on our April 6th, which would then have also been the day of his conception. Marking then 9 months after April 6th, we come to this January 6th, the celebration of Epiphany. But as greater attention shifted to the conception and nativity of Jesus, and that the date for his birth became widely accepted as December 25th, the celebration of Epiphany lost a bit of its luster. But the meaning of Epiphany remains. The word itself means revelation, appearing, manifestation. All of these words serve as the theme for the season, the entire season of Epiphany. And we will see then through the next 7 weeks the gospel accounts that make known to us the glory of the Lord present in Jesus Christ as he proclaims that through his word to all people. And so it begins here on this day, the celebration of Epiphany, when we remember the Magi's visit to the child Jesus, who was born King of the Jews. Now, Magi, coming from the east, around the areas of Persia, ancient Babylon, to track down the newborn King of the Jews. This visit was truly remarkable. For these men were not Jews. Certainly not by blood. And yet they had in some way come across the promises of God that would be for all people. And when they noticed this strange anomaly in the sky to the west appear out of nowhere, they readied themselves for the journey of all time. And without the knowledge of God's word, and without the appearance of the star, the Magi would have done nothing. They needed God's divine intervention to move them into faith and action. Their journey then led them to Jerusalem, where they inquired about this newborn king of the Jews. The religious elite amongst the Jewish people were able to point out from the scriptures where this king was to be born. And they used the prophet Micah as their source. The word of God, treasured as it was, led the Magi, these foreigners, to the humble city of Bethlehem. And then the star reappeared, causing them great and exceeding joy. And it took them the rest of the way to Jesus, a star moving in the sky to lead Magi from afar. What a shock that must have been for Mary and for Joseph to have at their door these foreigners, these Gentiles who had been traveling for weeks on end. And yet in they strode with gifts in their hands, laying them at the feet of this little child. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Isaiah's prophecy, the 60th chapter, our Old Testament reading for today, was being fulfilled in their midst. The nations were coming to the light of the Lord. Following this visit from the Magi, these men are not heard from again. We do not know what happened to them following their return home to through the other route as guided by the angel. But what we do know is that God has used these men to confirm what the angel had announced to the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The visit of the Magi to the Lord Jesus shows us that Christ is indeed for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. This is what St. Paul has also written to the Ephesians in our epistle lesson for today, that the Gentiles, considered dirty and foul by the Jews, were fellow heirs of the promises of God made known in the person and work of Jesus Christ. God's bringing of the Magi to Jesus lays the foundation for what Paul has also taught, that in Christ Jesus there is neither Jew nor Gentile, for all are one in Him. Such a truth, essential to our faith, given from St. Paul, that all are one in Christ, is a truth that has to be revealed. Man does not figure such things out on his own. Paul himself, considered great by the church of our day, needed that truth to be revealed to him about the Christ, about God's work of salvation in Jesus. For Paul had been persecuting Jesus himself, having Christians arrested and even killed. This understanding of the necessity of revelation is a major theme in this season of Epiphany. And really, it needs to be the ongoing theme that we recognize as essential in our own lives. We are in constant need of God's revelation to us, that Jesus Christ is for us. We need to hear time and time again that Jesus is made manifest as our Savior, as He suffered and died for our sins, upon the cross of Calvary. We need this celebration of Epiphany. And we need this Epiphany because we are included in the people of which Isaiah spoke, being covered over in clouds of great darkness. For our sin shrouds us completely to the point that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. It is impossible for us to find our way on our own. And left in our own blindness, we would continue to wander down the path of God's wrath and punishment, just as our sins surely deserve. But Isaiah's words sever that darkness, cut right through it. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, a good word for those dead in sin. Shine, the right word for those in the blindness of sin. And of course, these words find their fulfillment in the one true light of the world, the child visited by the Magi, our Lord Jesus Christ. That light of the world, the light of salvation, has come for you. And the truth about Jesus for you is revealed in Epiphany as the Lord makes himself known to the world, to all people. Jesus will reveal himself as the Son of God this season of Epiphany. He will show himself as the restorer of creation, as he heals the sick and raises the dead, undoing the curse of sin. Jesus will manifest his great glory as God through his all-sufficient sacrifice upon the cross and by his glorious resurrection from death. This we need to hear over and over again, to hear that Jesus has made himself known to the world to keep us from slipping back into that great darkness. We need Jesus revealed to us constantly. And he does so. He reveals himself to us in his word, as our children understood quite well this morning in the Bible. And also, very truly, in tangible form, in the sacraments, water, bread, and wine. Epiphany may not be celebrated by the world around us, but it is remembered well by the Church of Christ. For it is He, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only source of our salvation. He is the center of this season of Epiphany. He is the center of our lives as Christians. God grant this for us now and forever. Amen. Now the peace that does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.